Our scripture this morning is Psalm 34. I invite you to turn as we speak about the fitness of praise. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants, and no one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your presence. Now by your Spirit, speak to us, we pray, from your word. Speak to us at the point of our need, in Jesus' name. Amen. Giving attention to praise is sort of like taking a spiritual examination or having a spiritual tune-up. As we give attention to the place that we give praise in our lives, it reveals to us the real thrust of our lives, whether or not we are, as the old catechism says, that the existence of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And when we see what place we're giving praise in our lives, we're seeing whether we're living to glorify God and whether or not we are truly enjoying him. Psalm 34 1 and 2 was the first text preached on in this sanctuary. And with a great deal of deliberation on what to preach on first. And periodically I intend to preach on it again from here, for it's important that we live to praise the Lord. I don't like human manipulation. I guess maybe I'm from Dewar Celtic stock, and I don't like people telling me what to do and when to do it. I resist cheerleading. I usually kind of secretly make fun of cheerleaders at athletic events. You know, I think it's kind of dumb. Although when I get into the game, then it's a different story, you see. But this is something more basic than saying, now let's all lift our hands and let's all say amen and let's all praise the Lord. Don't even have to say that to Brother Mac. He just does it. This is something more basic than merely saying amen. It's the basic attitude of the life of a child of God. whether or not deep within our spirit there is something that responds to God's holiness and to God's goodness and His blessings and says, Lord, from the depths of my soul, I want you to know I appreciate you. I love you. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And somehow, unexpressed, it's come to us that we think that praise is sort of the icing on the cake. Praise is something that we do after God has met all of our conditions, after we're secure that we have been saved and sanctified and fed and so forth. Then, if God meets all the conditions that we set up for Him, then maybe we'll give Him a little praise. But actually, we are here in order to tell Him that we love Him. The most precious thing to God that we can give Him is our love and our praise. And so I would have us this morning check our own attitude toward praise. What place does praise have in your life? What is true praise of God? We have something of an outline in the psalm. I will bless the Lord at all times, here in verse 1, reflects a basic attitude toward God. It says, by faith, I believe that God is good at all times. Not just when He's doing what I think He ought to do. By faith, I believe that God is holy at all times. And somehow I feel that in the darkness and in the hard times and in the place when our faith is really tested, is the time when our faith is the most precious to God. And I hear people who testify of shaking their fist in the hand of God and in the name of honesty saying to God, why did you do this and why did you do that? And I suppose that there's a time when each of us wonder why things have come. But I confess to you this morning, I don't know anything of an attitude of rebellion and hatred towards God in the life and place of the Christian. For the psalmist says that our attitude should be, I will bless the Lord at all times, not just when things are going as I think they should. I will give Him praise because He is worthy of my praise. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. This reflects an attempt to stay in tune with the power source of the universe. When you're praising God, it's hard to be critical of people who are out of tune with the Lord. It's hard to put our sights on the negative when, in fact, we are praising the Lord. When we are continually praising God, we are in harmony with God's holiness, and we're interested in filling our part in the great plan of all creation. Hurrying through this first part of what true praise is, verse 2 says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And this kind of helps to keep the ego problem in place. Most of us love to hear our names. It's a part of human nature. And maybe I'm being a heretic, but even for the sanctified people, we like people to say, I appreciate you. If you don't, there's something wrong with you. But I've noticed some saved and sanctified people that have had monumental, if not elephantine, egos. You can chew on that for a little while. But our monumental egos must bow before the only one who deserves boasting. And the only kind of boasting that really makes everybody happy to hear it is when somebody gets up and begins to boast in the Lord. When somebody begins to kind of give veiled hints that they want compliments, it makes me kind of sick. And when I do, it makes you sick too. Come on, tell me, that was a good sermon, wasn't it? Please. But then when the psalmist says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, it says the righteous will hear thereof and they'll be glad. And such praise and such boasting actually becomes contagious. The righteous shall hear and be glad. Let us magnify the Lord together. Let's exalt His name. Unfortunately, there are a lot of things of the Spirit that are contagious. Griping's contagious. Rumors. Selfish attitudes. I better get mine because if I don't, I won't get it. You know, even if I have to cut ahead of you. All these wrong attitudes breed and fester. But thank the Lord, a praising spirit, a spirit that boasts in the Lord, is contagious too. And somehow the spirit of praise cleanses and permeates the communal spirit. I believe a church has a personality just like a person does. And oh, how I covet for the personality of our church, the spirit of praise. Until when people come in, they won't say, what a great choir. Although we do have a pretty good choir. Or they won't say, what a wonderful sermon, or what a beautiful sanctuary. I kept thinking during district assembly this last week, honest I did, I wouldn't butter you up for the world. But people kept saying, my, what a beautiful church you have. And I kept saying, yes, and I don't mind the building either. Because this isn't the church. This is a miracle that the Lord gave us. It's a sanctuary that we worship in. I'm glad for it. It is beautiful. But my church is beautiful as long as you let Jesus live in you. And as long as we exalt the name of Jesus together, as long as the spirit of praise is louder than the spirit of griping and complaining. Oh, there's lots of things wrong with the church. Don't get me wrong. There's even one or two things wrong with Eastern Nazarene College. There's a few things wrong with the program here and there. Might even be a thing wrong with the junior high school kids. I don't know. Is there? No, okay. No, you're pretty good. What does true praise do? Let me hurry through this because otherwise I'll break a record and keep you afternoon. But verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. True praise looks to the past with gratitude. I don't minimize the troubles and the trials and the battles that we've had. But thank the Lord I have the perspective of faith. I'm here today. I'm alive. I have hope. What a wonderful thing to have the perspective of faith. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. I tell you, that does a lot for me sometimes when I'm in the midst of the battle and I wonder if I'm going to survive and I feel like resigning and I feel like quitting. And I read from everlasting to everlasting. After it's all over and the last horn is tooted, God will still be God. Praise the Lord. Praise keeps us alert for good things. Verse 5, those who look to him are radiant. They looked unto him and were lightened. If we seek to be men and women of praise, we shall be looking for and finding many reasons to praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Praise delivers us from fear. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And he delivers them. I'm glad I discovered there's a difference between feeling fearful and being a coward too. Fear is one of my besetting sins, if I were going to call it that way. Fear knocks at the door of my house about every day I live. And I used to have trouble with that over in Revelation, the 21st chapter, where it says the fearful and the unbelieving, and then it goes on, degenerates very fast, shall have their part in the lake of fire. Some of the modern translations, perhaps better translations, say the coward and the unbelieving. And I can't always control how I feel, but I can control the direction I'm facing when I die. And if I die, I want to die with my face toward Zion. And I have to claim the promise that even though I feel fear, the angel of the Lord is encamping around me if I fear him, and my praise will help me to see that God is there. He will deliver me. Well, I could preach more along this line, but I want to come to a practical conclusion. One of those Norman Vincent Peale types where he goes 1, 2, 3. Something you can do. One of these times too, junior highs or senior highs, I'm going to give a test at the end of a sermon. I'm going to pass out papers. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. And everybody that gets all 3 done without looking on their neighbors is going to get a fribble at Friendly's. How's that? Okay. All the rest of you can take the test too, but I'm not going to buy for you. Okay. What does true praise need? First of all, praise needs more exponents. Christianity has not failed. Praise has not failed. Praise has been reduced at times to a formula for getting prayers through. If you can't pray through, praise through, and so forth. But you and I need to give a major effort to praising the Lord. What place does praise have in your prayer life? Is your heart resonant with the love of God? Praise should be a conscious effort of our community as a church. God is pleased if we together seek to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. And I would ask the question this morning, how may we as a congregation let this world know just how much we love the Lord? How can our services reflect more and more the love and adoration of our hearts? Once again, I remind you, I'm not seeking to be manipulative. I'm certainly not a cheerleader. But I'm simply stating the fact that when we come together, let us consciously exalt the name of the Lord. The great hymns of the church, the times of prayer. God forbid that you ever come to be a spectator or a part of an audience. I never call you the audience. You are the congregation. We are all participants in the great act of worship. And may it ever increasingly be so. Real praise will come as a result of deliberate effort on our part. And here's my practical list of 5 things this morning. Number 1, ask God to help you not to be ashamed to talk about the Lord in your normal conversation. We talk about everything else. And I'm not saying you need to buy a little soapbox and take it down to the corner of Hancock and Elm and stand up and begin to preach. Although that might not be a bad idea sometime, I don't know. Get a bass drum if you do. But ask the Lord to help you to make the Lord the topic of conversation from time to time. Do you know what the Lord has done for me? God has answered prayer. He's worked a miracle. Something like that. You know, just work that in. You'd be surprised how that'll change your style of careless living around some people. Number 2, in your private devotions, perhaps. I think it's totally appropriate to keep lists of things that God has done and is doing. I like lists. And get your pencil out and write some things down to praise Him for. In the first part of that private service where just you and God are, make at least a third of the service praise. I dare you. You know, listen to yourself pray tomorrow when you go. Chances are you're going to read a snatch out of Come Ye Apart and maybe 117th Psalm, and then you hit your knees on the floor beside your bed and you say, Lord, give me this, give me that. I need this. Please bless this one, bless that one. Amen, and up and away you go. Very quiet. Number 3, make an effort to testify in church. How long's it been since in a public service you've gotten to your feet and saying, I need to praise the Lord? And when you do testify in church, make an effort to praise God, not to glorify yourself or tell about your miseries, but just praise God in your testimony. Number 4, ask God today for an opportunity to praise Him outside the congregation. in a normal, natural way. If you ask him for a chance to share with that person perhaps you work with, that person that you see every day, God will give you a natural opportunity. And number five, don't quit the praise committee before you've given it a fair chance to work. In other words, just determine you're going to be a praiser. How is your praise life toward God? The last verse of this psalm of praise is the promise that no one who takes refuge in God will be condemned. Your life will not be desolate if you determine that you're going to praise God. Genuine praise reflects a life hidden in God's will. And when we're in tune with God, we cannot be desolate. Will you ask the Lord God to help you be a praiser? Let us exalt His name together. Our closing hymn this morning has echoes of Christmas, but it's really not a Christmas hymn alone. It's about the whole universe praising the Lord because Jesus is come. And let's stand together and sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come."
And I want to hear four parts all the way through here. You tenors, sing that part there, and the bass is in the middle. Let's let the Lord hear our voices in parts. Third verse.
Now may the grace and mercy, peace and love of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide with you both now and evermore. Amen.